Good afternoon. This is the Afternoon Magazine, and my name is Rita Schulte. I'm sitting in this afternoon for Celeste Quinn. And with me today on the phone are two gentlemen who are engaged with the Christmas Bird Count. Some of you may know what this activity is with the Audubon Society, but for those who do not, I want to introduce Bob Fisher, who is the Illinois past president of the Bird Conservation Network, Christmas Counts, and Jeff LeBaron, who is presently in Massachusetts. He's the Christmas Bird Count director. And welcome, gentlemen.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, because this sounds, this just sounds like an amazingly fabulous thing to do. I mean, if you are a birder, this must be sort of a great Christmas thing or a great activity for the wintertime to be able to help with this project. It looks like this is the 108th Christmas bird count?
That's right. This is the 108th year that the CBC has been done. It was started on Christmas Day in 1900, and it's been done across the continent, really, every year since then.
I guess that was my next question, is there's a 15-mile radius that's it's a sample section. There are more than one of these throughout the United States or throughout the continent?
Yes. Last year we had 2,052 different individual Christmas bird counts that were run during what's the official Christmas bird count period, which is from December 14th through January 5th each season. And each circle itself, each count itself, is a 15-mile diameter circle around a specific center point. And the compiler or local organizer of each count sort of marshals their forces and organizes everybody for census day, and people form into groups and actually have specific routes that they take, and they count every bird that they see or hear during their part of the route.
And how is the 15-mile area selected? How do you determine where you want to do the census? I'm assuming you have some kind of continuity that you want to maintain.
Well, it's Christmas count. I mean, for the most part, they're traditional areas that have been run for a long time. But we do have 40 or 50 new counts that are started every year. Sometimes it's as simple as a group of birders in an area where there isn't a local Christmas bird count, and they just want to start something to be involved with the CBC.
Huh.
It can also be a desire to do census work or protection work in a specific area, whether it's a wetland or coastal area, or sometimes it's an important bird area, or something like that. So it's there are many different reasons why people choose a specific spot.
Now, I would say that one of the reasons very often that a new circle is created is to assess habitat, maybe to try and take a look at something that's being done to preserve or enhance or restore habitat, so that you can find out if the birds are there as a result of these activities.
Exactly true also.
Now, I understand that this started the 14th. That had been last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it will continue on till January 5th. Now, I'm in Illinois, not if I were, but I'm in Illinois and I wanted to get involved in this. Has the Illinois count already occurred? Is it continuing on through that entire period?
If you'd like to do a count somewhere in Illinois, you still could do so, because they will run right up through the last day of the count period. Jeff, do you know the total number in Illinois? I do not, but I suspect it's more than 50.
It's 40 or 50 or somewhere on that. I don't have that number right at my fingertips. But and actually, I just quickly checked, and there are already two counts that have been completed with their data entry online for this year. So that's pretty cool.
Yep. I did two counts Saturday and Sunday, as a matter of fact, fairly close to where I live in suburban Chicago.
Oh. Okay. Now, that brings up an interesting point. Is there a count area within the city also, or is someone monitoring bird populations within the city?
Oh, very much so. Mm-hmm. There are probably three or four count areas within the Chicago city limit, and they focus on such things as what birds are being seen or found along the lake shore, some of the major parks or forest preserves within the city limits, and then there are any number of counts in the Chicago metropolitan area.
Mm-hmm.
That, again, typically a count circle is drawn around perhaps a major piece of habitat, but there is a Chicago urban count, for example, which is primarily city streets and backyards and small parks.
Mm-hmm. When I was in graduate school, I remember that somebody had actually, because I come from south side of the city, somebody had actually established a count nearby on the south side around what had become a landfill.
Mm-hmm.
And they were counting not just the portion of the landfill that had been reverted back to wetlands, but also within the active landfill area. And I thought, at the time, well, that's pretty strange. What are you counting in the landfill area itself?
What you count typically on an active landfill are some of the gulls that winter and, frankly, feed at the active landfill.
Right.
So you're kind of reflecting the population and the movement of gulls in that context.
And actually, as landfills are capped and then recover, it actually can produce a very viable grassland area, which is very important for a lot of declining species also. So,
absolutely. As a matter of fact, I spent a couple of hours on Sunday standing on top of a capped landfill. I might add it wasn't terribly pleasant.
No.
It was quite cold and windy up there. But there were two bird species that we saw up there that are actually birds that summer up in the Arctic tundra. And both those species, one's a Lapland longspur and the other one is a snow bunting, both of those species were using the top of the landfill to feed and to seek, well, there isn't much cover, I must admit.
But, right, no.
In any case, that particular landfill, which is in the Green Valley Forest Preserve in DuPage County,
right.
Is an example of where you can take what was once, shall we say, an eyesore at best, and restore it with grassland and native vegetation, and the birds will come. They will use it,
and how
even
is,
in the winter.
You know, how is that different from a 15-mile or a selected site down in, say, central Illinois along maybe the corridor along Route 74 or 72, which is predominantly agricultural?
Well, it would be the same thing. You would be looking at what birds are using the agricultural fields, and then what would bird species would be using the islands of habitat, maybe the woodlots at the edge of a farmer's field, or maybe a small town park in a small town. Again, many of these wintering species are pretty adaptable up to a point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fallow or plowed under cornfields don't tend to attract very much by way of birds.
And the other thing that can happen with landfills or other places like that, whenever you do have concentrations of gulls or other birds, you also sometimes get interesting raptors that come into those areas too.
Well, that's one of the things somebody was saying in the building a couple of days ago, was that they had not remembered a time when they saw as many hawks driving between Champaign and Bloomington, Illinois. It's mostly agricultural area and some small towns. And every single signpost seemed to have a small hawk or even some red tail on it, which was kind of different from what we used to see. There would be some, but this seemed just really amazingly well populated.
Well, you know, again, it's probable that maybe red-tailed hawks have learned to use the verge along interstates to hunt for, you know, small mammals and so forth, and American kestrels do the same.
Right.
So that's why you see them. The other thing that could be going on is perhaps maybe the red-tails had a good nesting year, so they're more around.
Well, one thing that we had noticed, and our agricultural folks could probably correct me on this, but there is an amazing amount of corn, for a lot of reasons, grown in the Corn Belt this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've postulated that perhaps the very tiny rodent population might be up because they've got plenty to eat now, and so now the hawks have plenty to eat. So,
sounds quite likely. And the other thing about roadsides is there are usually places for the hawks to perch and look for stuff. So,
exactly.
Yeah. And they, you know, they're exquisite to look at.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're just gorgeous.
Yeah.
I see that on one of the pieces of information you sent that last year you had like 58,000 people counted nearly 70 million birds in all 50 states,
yep.
just in this one count.
In last year's Christmas bird count overall, yep, there were just short of 58,000 observers involved.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of birds counted, by the way, we do have counts in all 50 states and throughout Canada, in all the Canadian provinces, and also throughout Latin America and the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of those 2,000 or so circles are in the United States and
mm-hmm.
Canada.
Wow.
And the data have become very useful for conservation also. In the long term, you can actually look at what's happening with species over time in a given region or continentally. And in fact, Audubon just this past fall has released the 2007, and one of the prime sources of the information in that was the first large-scale analysis of the Christmas bird count data.
Wow. Now, do you do this kind of count different times of the year?
There are other types of counts done at different times of the year, but the Christmas bird count program is specifically and has always been run just during the holiday season.
Okay.
In the breeding season, there's a project called the Breeding Bird Survey, and that gives us a yardstick for the breeding season as well.
So if I wanted to get involved, or if we had a listener who wanted to get involved in this, could they go to your website and find out how?
Yep, on the Christmas Bird Count website, right on the main page, which is www.audubon.org/bird. which is singular/CBC,
mm-hmm.
and toward the top of the left-hand menu thing, there's a list that or a link that says "Get Involved."
Right.
And on that page, there's actually a link where it's got a circle search tool, and you can pull up Illinois, and it'll give you the contact people and the dates of the upcoming counts.
Mm-hmm. And if you go to the website, those of you who are listening, you will see a complete FAQ on why it's done, how it's done, and some information about what you would need to do and who you need to contact. And if you are looking for an activity in the next couple of days, for the next couple of weeks, rather, and you have some time and some interest in birds and outdoors, this sounds like it'd be not only great fun, but extremely useful in the long run. I'd like to thank both of you gentlemen for calling in or letting us talk to you today. This sounds like a worthwhile project and certainly one of the most long-running volunteer efforts out there right now.
It is, and it becomes a lot of people's holiday tradition.
Exactly.
Thank you, year after year,
mm-hmm. and we would hope, why don't you come out and join us somewhere in Illinois? There's still a couple of weeks left.
Yep. Absolutely.
So the Illinois counts are not yet complete.
Not at all.
Oh, wonderful. And if you're interested in the data that these gentlemen's project workers and the volunteers are collecting, that's also available to the public on the Audubon Society webpage. Well, thank you so much, Bob Fisher and Jeff LeBaron with the Christmas Bird Count by the Audubon Society. I'd like to thank you for sharing a little time and telling us about your activity here this afternoon on the Afternoon Magazine.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, and have a happy holiday.
Happy holidays to you gentlemen as well, and thank you very much for sharing some time with us and for telling us about your activity. Thanks a lot.